There is healing of emotions that are taking place. If you allow him to get to that very place in your heart, he'll bring healing to that wound. Our desire should be to have him and to hold on to him. His very presence. Not for anything else, but his presence. And what he desires to do is his perfected will. Let the Spirit of the living God go forth and minister to your heart and into your spirit. Receive the balm of Gilead. Let the healing oil flow to bring healing to the fear. That grips you and it keeps you from moving to a place in him that you've desired, you've asked for, but you're fearful of it. Let him lead you there. Let him lead you. Father, in this very atmosphere, Lord, I just pray that you remove the distractions, Lord, so that we can hear your word, hear your declaration. So, Lord, in your very presence, Lord, there is liberty. And there is joy. Let our hearts be full of joy. Let our spirits be quickened and awakened to do your bidding. Let us be not just a people that are obedient, but a people that know how to worship you. Father, we thank you. We give honor to you in your presence. Though you are welcome in this house. Now let the ministering Spirit of God go forth now to touch and prepare the hearts to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in this very hour. Lord, we thank you for it now. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. How many of you know that God is worthy to be praised? He's worthy of the worship. We know that, right? How many of you would like for him to take you deeper into a place of worship? Where he guides you, he leads you, and then there's times that he'll just wait for you. So he wants to get us to a place in him that we haven't been. It's such a hunger for him that nothing can satisfy unless it's his presence. How many of you want that? I experienced a hunger that I have never in my life experienced this time when I was in Kenya. A hunger that nothing could satisfy. The people didn't want another story. They did not want another scripture. They wanted his presence. Can we desire that? Can we desire a presence that it's not just him showing up, now tell me what you want. It's him showing up and asking him to do what he wants. There was such a hunger that I experienced that there was children that were on their face. We had no crosses. We had no symbolisms of Christianity. All we had was dirt and a man-made platform. But they made that an altar. And they got on their face. Children. Because the Spirit of God began to move and they wanted exactly what they were feeling. And they didn't want to let it go. Children. Little ones. Crying in the presence of God. And then we had pastors and leaders sitting there like they understood the presence. And it wasn't until the children got up that the atmosphere began to change. There needs to be that kind of hunger. Where a generation that is following us knows how to get in His presence. When they recognize that the very presence of God is there, that they rush to His feet. And when I got up to begin to speak, I let the pastors know. You think your title is going to make room for you in heaven? You think your title guarantees you a place in His presence? Your title is man-made. So I had those very kids that were on their face go lay hands on them. Amen. Those that were very pompous, I mean very prideful, they were bishops of bishops. When the kids went and laid hands on them, they just fell right out. They fell right out in their seats. That's what we need when we come into His presence. All we want is let's forget about our titles. Let's forget about our positions. Let's forget about time. Let's forget about what we're going to look like when we leave this place. The reality is when you come into the presence of God, you're going to look a mess when you leave. You'll know when you've been in the presence of God. Now, I told you how they entered into the church, into the service. They look all nice and pretty, but when they left, some of them were holding their weaves in their hands. Some of them just took their head dressings off and just walked out. And they had no dignity about them. They were just tore up. But when you're in the presence of God, He deals with the very innermost things that He needs to deal with. And I've been in a place where nothing can satisfy my thirst for Him. We spent some time yesterday out at Rockport with my family and I, and it was raining, it was overcast, foggy, misty, and everything. But I had so much fun. We said we were fishing, but I think we were feeding the fish. Got to the point, you know how fishermen do. It's the bait. Let's change the bait. Right? Change the bait so we can catch the fish. I think the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm going to change some things up so I can get you. Because you've been so used to what's been coming to you. It's time to change it up so that we get what we need. Do you know what I mean? So as I sat out there and was fishing and looking at the bait, going the fish's belly, not on the hook, I realized something. That the fisherman has a responsibility to bring in the fish. But if we just put the bait out there and don't bring it in, you're never going to bring the fish in. And I think the mentality of the church in America has been such that here's the gospel, it's your choice. But if we don't close it and tell them the real truth about the gospel, then the soul is going to get away and continue going down the path that it's on. You know how many people out there in Kenya actually evangelize out there? So many of them that sit in the church go after church to go evangelize for the kingdom. For the kingdom, not the church, the kingdom. The same kids that were at the altar are the ones getting up and going out there and asking if they know Jesus. See, we're losing what God has called us to do. There's a scripture in the Bible that says if the salt loses its flavor, is it any good? I think the church has lost its flavor. We're no longer out there trying to do what God has commissioned us to do. And we have to. How many more messages do we want to hear? How many more prophecies do we want to get, but not do what he told us to do? We become the disobedient church. We need to do what he tells us to do. And is church a place where we just come to get hooked up? This is Wednesday night, right? Y'all ain't visitors, so I'm just talking to you like we're family, so you ain't visitors. We need to come to church to hear what the Spirit of God is saying concerning the church. Correct? We need to have that understanding that God wants to do something very specific in these last days. We need to come get equipped, get filled, and then go out and empty. Empty. When I was in Eldoret, which is the town that we flew into, it was on a Monday hour service there. And that hour service had over 700 people in one room. No bigger than this. And very, very crowded with no AC, just windows. Third floor. That 700 people in the downtown area, they gave up their lunch hour on that Monday. That's every single day, Monday through Friday. Is that hunger? Yeah. Is that commitment? Is that sacrifice? Yes, to all of the above. I explained to them, since there was an outpouring of over 3,500 people getting laid out in the very presence of God, where revival had been opened up and released, there was an open heaven. I explained to them they have a responsibility. With that responsibility, what were they going to do with what God had given them? Were they going to take that to the streets, and were they going to show the people about the kingdom of God? I went to lunch right after that service with the pastor, and there was one of the congregants that were there, but they weren't there at the tent on Saturday where the outpouring was. I had just finished explaining in that lunch hour about the spirit of prophecy and how it is needed in these last days. So as we're sitting there eating, and you know me and food, we're good friends. So she's sitting there, and I told her, just, you know, eat with us. There's so much food. So she starts eating, and we're just chit-chatting, making small talk. I'm talking to the pastor talking to them, and they're talking in Swahili. So me and Popo and Papa are just talking. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just dropped in my spirit a word for her. So I looked over at her and I said, you have a daughter that is in what they would call primary school. I said, she acts this big, but she's this big. And she just looked at me. I said, in other words, what I see is a young girl that is the youngest in the family, but she acts like she's the oldest in the family. She acts older than what her age really is. Her mouth dropped, her eyes opened so wide, she was like, oh my God, what is going on? She had never experienced it. So she looked over at the pastor and said, did you tell him about my daughter? And the pastor says, I didn't even know you had a daughter. Then the Lord had me explain to her what was going on and why she was worried about this daughter. Very, very accurate. Now, this particular individual does not have a lot of money to pay for that meal that we ate. So the check came, and the pastor that was there that invited us out to eat was going to pay for us. And she grabbed that ticket. She goes, oh, I'm not losing this blessing. And she says, I want to pay. Now, when she reached for it, her hands were shaking so much that the pastor said, are you all right? She says, I've never experiencing what I'm experiencing right now. There's no way he could have known. And so that's God speaking to you concerning your daughter and concerning what you're going through in your mind. And it makes it very difficult for you to even process. She started crying and she was so nervous she had to get up from the table and she left. She walked outside the restaurant, and then she came back. She says, I need to know how you knew. She says, because I just had this conversation with God, on the way to the restaurant concerning my daughter. I was so worried and scared for her. And she's only like, which would be like 6th or 7th grade here. But she acts like she's already 18, 19 years old. And the Lord gave a very specific thing that she was concerned about. Very specific. And it had to do with her life. So that's why she had this conversation with God. So when that was revealed to her, it scared her. But then she realized something. What she was feeling was the very presence of the Holy Spirit removing that fear. I got a text message from that pastor that invited me there, that daughter had quit rebelling against the mom and had ended a relationship that was very, very abusive. Seventh grade. Ended that relationship and come to find out that the boy that she was with had beat all of the girls previous to this one. And she was extremely scared for her. So she says to the pastor, that man that came did something in my life. So the pastor had to explain, well, that was the Spirit of God doing everything. Do you see how important it is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? And this is where I believe that God is saying that we as a church need to be poised for what he's about to do, to be in position for what he wants to do. There's a people out there that are dying. There's a people out there that need hope, where hope has been lost. And the gifts of the Spirit of God can grab hold of them right where they're at. Nothing. There's no way am I from America going to know about her. She knew that. But what she felt that was more important was the peace. That peace. So I want to give anybody in here the opportunity right now that has something in their spirit that they want to share in the atmosphere right now, whether it be a prophetic word, word of knowledge, or word of wisdom. Anybody? No? You want to explain to Hector? Tienes unas palabras que quieres decir. Lo sientes en tu espíritu. Okay. Pásale, por favor.
Bueno, Dios le bendiga.
God bless you.
Solamente decir una palabra que sale de la boca de Dios.
Simply want to tell you a word from God.
Es una palabra que podamos decir que es fuerte para el pueblo de Dios.
A word that may be a bit strong for the people of God.
Y es que Dios llama al pueblo de Dios
that God is calling the people of God, of
acercarse
God,
a Él.
Close to him.
Solamente a Él.
Only to him.
Hay algunas cosas que están tropezando o están haciendo tropezar tu vida.
There are some things that are making you get blocked or trip over, like not, that are blocking you, stumble, making you stumble.
Problemas, situaciones difíciles.
Problems, situations, things you're going through.
Amistades.
Friends.
Que no son de Dios.
That are not of God.
Bendito sea el Señor.
Blessed be the God.
Y que están haciendo énfasis en nuestra vida.
And they're making emphasis in our lives.
Y están quitando
and are taking
el gozo,
the joy,
el deseo de buscar de Dios.
The wish, the want to look for God.
Y Dios me dice que la iglesia se está enfriando espiritualmente.
And God is telling him that the church is getting cold spiritually.
Y que es el momento de volverse a Dios.
And that it's time to come back to God.
El hecho de venir a la iglesia,
the fact of coming to church,
es importante.
Is important.
No dejándonos de congregar como muchos tienen por costumbre.
Not to stop coming to church like a lot of people do.
Y es importante que eso no se le vaya de la mente ni de su corazón.
And it's important for that not to leave your mind and your heart.
Debe permanecer la palabra de Dios en nuestros corazones.
The word of God should always be in your heart.
Dice Dios.
God says.
Acercaos a mí.
Come close to me.
Y yo os bendeciré.
And I will bless you.
Y traeré bendiciones a usted.
And I will bring blessings to you.
Grandes cosas haré con usted.
Great things I will do with you.
Pero cuando no sabemos o no queremos escuchar la voz de Dios,
but when we don't know or we don't want to listen to the word of God,
entonces Dios nos dice esto en esta noche.
Then God says this to us tonight.
En Hebreo capítulo 4,
in Hebrews chapter 4,
puede buscar la Biblia.
If you could please look for it in your Bibles.
O puede buscar su tablet, no sé.
Or in your tablets, or...
Hebreos capítulo 4, versículo 12.
Chapter 4, verse 12.
Ahí viene la palabra de Dios para usted y
That's
para
the
mí.
Word of God for you all today and for him.
Dice, porque la palabra de Dios es viva y eficaz y más cortante que toda espada de dos filos y penetra hasta partir el alma y el espíritu, las coyunturas y los tuétanos, y discierne los pensamientos y las intenciones del corazón.
For the word of God is live.
Quiero decirle algo de parte del Señor. A veces nosotros queremos que Dios nos dé una palabra, ¿verdad?
Sometimes we want for God to give us a word, right?
Es de confortación, de ánimo,
comfort,
de exhortación.
Exhortation, comfort.
Pero la palabra de Dios lo dice aquí.
But the word of God says it here.
Que es como una espada
that
de dos filos.
That it is like a double-edged sword.
Y Dios al pueblo de Israel,
and God to the people of Israel,
le hablaba con amor.
Would speak to them with love.
Pero a la vez,
but at the same time,
usaba sus profetas y le decía,
he would use
si no te arrepientes,
and would tell them, if you don't repent,
te voy a cortar.
I will cut it, cut you off.
Right? Eso era para todos el pueblo.
And that was for everybody.
Y el pueblo de Israel no obedecía
Israel
la palabra de Dios, ni aún
obey.
Obedecía lo que Dios decía a través de la profecía.
And they would not obey what was said to them through prophecy either.
Dios quiere que vengan muchas almas a este lugar.
God wants a lot of souls to come to this place.
Pero si nosotros no somos testimonio,
but if we are not testimony,
las almas no vienen.
The souls will not come.
Por eso que Dios quiere que usted se envuelva en las cosas de Dios.
That's why God wants you to get involved in the things of God.
Que le pida a Dios que restaure su vida espiritual.
To ask God to restore your spiritual life.
Y se acerque al Dios Altísimo, al Todopoderoso.
And to come to the Almighty God.
Al Creador de los cielos y de la tierra.
Creator of earth.
Mi alma te alaba, Jesucristo. Piense en esta palabra que Dios le dio en Hebreo 4, versículo 12.
Think of this word that God gave you tonight in Hebrews 4:12.
Dice el Señor que al principio la disciplina,
God says that at the beginning discipline,
no trae gozo,
does not bring joy,
pero sí trae posteriormente frutos apacibles.
But it will bring fruits
in
due season.
Si escuchas la voz de Dios,
if you listen to the word of God,
y obedeces a Dios,
and you obey God,
entonces Dios va a restaurar tu vida.
God will restore your life.
Y te bendecirá
and will bless
rica
you
y abundantemente.
Abundantly.
Amén. Dios le guarde.
God bless you.
Hoy en la mañana almorzaba con mi esposa.
This morning we were having breakfast.
Y yo le decía que la profecía,
he was saying that the prophecy
que da siempre el siervo del Señor,
that the servant of God always gives
para la iglesia,
for the church people,
es de confortamiento,
is of comfort,
y ahorita me gocé por lo que dijo él,
and right now he got received joy from what pastor said.
Muchos de nosotros
a lot
venimos
of us come
y queremos que nos hablen de bendiciones.
You know, we want him to talk
to
us about blessings and prosperity in our lives.
De que te va a ir bien en tu trabajo.
That it's going to be, you know, you're going to be do great at work.
De que se va a restaurar tu familia.
That your family is going to restore.
Y usted llora y se goza por
and
eso.
And cry and feel joy for that.
En una ocasión, el profeta Nehemías.
In one occasion, Prophet Nehemías.
Capítulo 8.
Chapter 8.
Lea todo el capítulo 8.
Read all of 8.
Dice que el profeta Nehemías estaba.
It said that the prophet was
predicando al pueblo de Dios.
Preaching to its people.
Estaban desde la mañana, dice que desde las 6 de la mañana hasta el mediodía. Y dice que nadie se movía de su lugar. Y escuchaban la palabra de Dios. Y les hablaba fuerte porque era la ley. Y dice que muchos lloraban. Y los demás siervos confortaban al pueblo. Y dice, no lloren, no se entristezcan. Porque Nehemías era un profeta de Dios.
Was a prophet of God.
Pero era tan tremendo,
he was
tan celoso con las cosas de Dios.
So jealous with the things of God.
En un versículo de Nehemías,
that in one of the verses,
dice, y reñí con ellos.
It says, and I laughed with them.
Peleé con ellos.
I fought with them.
Dice, y los desgreñé.
And I
les arranqué los cabellos.
Pulled their hair.
Y los forcé a entrar.
And I forced them to come in.
Porque no entendía.
Because they wouldn't understand.
Dios quiere que entendamos.
God wants us to understand.
Y que nosotros hablemos de la palabra de Dios.
And for us to speak of the word of God.
Que hablemos a otras personas.
To speak to other people.
Porque usted y yo llegamos aquí y decimos, uf, nadie vino.
Because we come here.
Pero ¿qué hiciste tú y qué hice yo?
But what did you or I do?
Para que la iglesia esté llena.
For the church to be full.
La responsabilidad del siervo de Dios es que tenga pastos verdes para las ovejas.
For its sheep.
Pero las ovejas son las que se reproducen.
But the sheep are the ones that reproduce.
Amén. Pero hay ovejas estériles.
But there is sterile sheep
que no producen nada.
That don't produce anything.
Son estériles.
They're sterile.
Pero Dios no quiere que tú seas estéril.
But God doesn't want you to be sterile.
Si tú no has reproducido para Dios,
if you haven't reproduced for God,
reproduzcámonos para Dios.
Let's reproduce for God.
Para que el pastor pueda apacentar las ovejas.
So that the pastor can.
Y cuando usted entre aquí a la casa del Señor,
so when you come to the church of, for the house of God,
diga, si no hay gente,
if there's no people,
no es por la culpa del pastor.
It's not because it's his fault.
Es por mi culpa.
It's for my fault.
Porque yo no he hablado de Jesucristo.
Because I haven't spoken about God to anybody.
Gocémonos.
Let's have joy.
Porque es palabra de Dios.
Because it's word of God.
Amén. Ahora diga, amén.
Now say amen.
Amén. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. No se quede callada.
Don't stay quiet. Say amen.
¿Eh? Cuando el pastor está profetizando, amén, aleluya.
When he's
sí.
prophesying, you're aleluya, amen.
Come on, pastor. Go, pastor. Come on. Yo escucho mucho esa palabra cuando
he
dicen.
He listens to that word a lot.
Come on, pastor. Cuando el pastor le está
when
bendiciendo
he's prophesying and blessing you.
Y que siga hablando más. Come on, pastor. Suéltalo todo.
Stop. You know, you want him to release everything.
Pero cuando el Señor nos está dando.
But when God is.
Nadie dice, come on, sir. God bless you.
Amen. He speak of the truth. He tell you the truth. Amen. It's been in my spirit. Guys, I've experienced a lot of things the past couple of weeks, not just because of the trip to Africa. It started happening before I left. The Lord started making some changes in me, started dealing with some issues in my life so that I could make change. If I don't make change, that's nobody else's responsibility. But mine. Do you understand? And one of the things that I told you is that I'm going to be transparent so that you all can see that every person, whether a mega ministry or not, has fault. And it's not to look at the fault, it's to look at the fruit. Amen? And we as a church have to look at our internal fruit. Are we doing what God has told us to do? You're in church, right? Presence of God is here. So you can't lie. Lying. How many of you told someone about Jesus today? Raise your hand. Three. Four. All right, now, come on. God bless you, because you sneezed. God bless you. The Lord is good. You offered the right to a stranger? Did you tell him about Jesus and how much he loves him? This just, now you know how I am in the prophetic class, right? Okay. Okay. Why wouldn't you speak of Jesus in your own vehicle? Okay, I'm glad you answered the way you did. Many times we're so distracted, we're in a hurry to do something else, that we don't tell the truth about the gospel to somebody. There's 24 hours in a day. If truth be told, if you were in such a rush, you wasted time early on. Our time management concerning the things that we have to do in life is not very good. If the cameras were to be on us like a reality show, how much time are you really in the presence of God? I think that the honesty would come forward and say, well, I looked at my Bible. I played praise and worship songs, but I didn't get in his presence. Do you see what I mean? There is a difference. If the church can get back to that place of being and entertaining his presence in the secret place, he will reveal it in the public place. Amen? So I just wanted to share that with you. That's been on my heart. That's been on my spirit. I talked to the next lady that's coming up on the phone after I came back from Africa, talking about a lot of different things that the Lord has been sharing with me, and it was confirmation to her. Especially what she has to share tonight is confirmation to what the Lord is speaking. So I want Colleen to come up and share what's on your heart and share with the people of God what God has given you. Amen. Come on up.
All throughout worship, I kept hearing the words, contents under pressure, do not remove. How many of you have been experiencing an immense amount of pressure lately? Me! So much so that it's just been like, like, God, where are you? And I got all these notes, and I'm like, okay, where are the... Let me get myself together. I wasn't going to bring my notes because sometimes they distract me. But I wrote something. Where am I? I wrote it on here. No idea. Yeah. What's inside of us always comes out when we face pressure. Yeah, I wrote that. Because... Go with my message. You tell them all over the place. I'm just going to pray that Holy Spirit speak through me. Get to my message Bible, because I really like that version. And here I am. Going to start off this message with James 1:2-8. So, been experiencing a lot of pressure lately, a lot of things. A few months ago, the Lord, I had a vision during worship, and he was beckoning me out into the waters. And I just found myself in the spirit, you know, just standing in the midst of the water, nothing around, couldn't see anything. And I heard his voice say, now you have nothing to depend on but me. There is nothing to lean on out here. You've got nothing but me. And little did I know, after that, I would actually be experiencing some things that I haven't experienced in a long time. And just asking God, like, where are you? And then I heard this this verse, actually, and it kind of put me back into perspective. And it said, consider it a sheer gift, friends. When tests and challenges come at you from all sides. Don't you hate it when it says that? It's a sheer gift. That's a joke, right? It's a gift that you're going through this right now. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. That's the contents under pressure do not remove. If you do not know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believedly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. That's something we tend to do when he calls us out into the waters. God speaks to me very plainly about water. That's my language. Those two songs that Pastor Marty played, I sang them with all my heart because, yeah, that's how God speaks to me. You know, getting in the boat or walking out on the sea. Because a lot of things happen out there. It's not always just the desert or the valley or the mountaintop experiences. But there's something about water. It is used to cleanse. And it's used, you know, it's very significant. It's very prophetic. It's deliverance. You wash yourself with water to get clean. And so that brings me to my next thing. And we all know this story. In Luke 8, 22 through 25. It's when Jesus, he's just got done preaching a message and he's exhausted. He's tired. And he says, Let's go across. I want to go across the lake. And so they get in the boat and off they went. It was smooth sailing and he fell asleep. Sometimes when he calls us out, it's still. There's nothing happening. We kind of get a false sense of security, like, yeah, I got this. You know, nothing's happening. I'm pretty cool right now. I'm okay. But then something happens. A terrific storm came up suddenly on the lake. Water poured in, and they were about to capsize. They woke Jesus. Master, Master, we're going to drown. Getting to his feet, he told the wind, silence. And the waves quiet down. They did. The lake became smooth as glass. And then he said to his disciples, why can't you trust me? See, we're coming into a season where trust is absolute. We have to trust God. You know, trust is a fickle thing. We can trust people with certain aspects of our life. The same with God. We trust him with maybe our family, but we can't trust him with our finances. We trust him with our relationships, but we can't trust him in other aspects of our lives. And see, he knew exactly what he was doing when he told the disciples, let's go to the other side. Let's get in the boat, get on the water. Every good fisherman knows that if there's a storm coming, they're not going to get in that boat. And I was reading about the Sea of Galilee, because that's the lake they were on. It's a lake. It's not an ocean. It's surrounded by mountains. And it's actually 680 feet below sea level. So when the winds come, they come. And it's known for its extreme storms. But he knew exactly what he was doing. See, he wanted to see He wanted to bring out of the hearts of his disciples what they really thought about him, what was really inside of him. When we go into storms, if you ever go to the beach or after a storm, you see all the stuff that has been brought up from the surface and is laid out on the shore. Some good things like some shells, you know, you find some treasure or whatever. But other things are like the debris, the trash that has been laying on the bottom of the sea. So he was like, I want to show you what is inside of you, and I'm going to show you what you really think about me. See, when we go through storms, that's what he's doing. He is wanting to bring out of us what has either been laying dormant for so long that we haven't either dealt with, or something that is inside us that we didn't know we had, the strength that we had. So they started freaking out like anybody else would. You know, I got hit with a storm not too long ago with a huge old wave, and then I started getting into my pity party, and Josh was like, oh, you're having your pity party? And I'm like, we're completely different. Like, I'll sulk, and I'll be like, why? And he'll just like, God's got it. And I'm like, you're weird. How do you know he's got it? Because I don't know. And when I heard that scripture, it was actually from Lisa Bevere. It was like she was teaching on this thing, and I was just like, yeah, I have to trust. Yeah, not something that I thought I dealt with that trust issue like years ago, but I guess it was there still. I hadn't dealt with that thing. And so it checked my spirit, and I was like, okay, God, all right, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I had to say it with all my might, you know. I've done it before, and God came through. I'm like, okay, God, let's see if this works again. I'm going to trust you. I had to say it to myself, like, all the time, every day. I trust you, God. I trust you. I really do. And sometimes I'd get hit with another wave, either a wave of depression or a wave of hopelessness or whatever it was. And I'm like, God, how much more can I take of this? I don't know. And then he's like, you can sleep in your storm, you know. I'm like, really? I mean, he showed us. He was sleeping in the storm. So I'm like, okay, I think I'll try that. I'll try going to sleep. It's hard. I'm like, I can't sleep. But we all have a tendency to just want to, like, cry out and whine and complain and just be like, why, God, why? But I love it when he says that. He turns to the disciple. He's like the wind. He tells, be quiet. Be still, waves. And he turns to the disciples, why can't you trust me? You know, can you imagine just being there on the boat? And when he says that, why can't you trust me? And they look at him like, who are you? Who is this man that the wind and waves obey him? So that tells me they didn't fully understand who they were dealing with. Who was in this boat with them? They had seen him turn water into wine. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him do all these things, but yet they still couldn't trust him. They still couldn't believe in him. They still didn't know who he was. In this moment, God, Jesus, showed his sovereignty over the elements, over the circumstance. They weren't going to die, but yet they didn't see it. It's like Jesus was in the boat. He wasn't going to let them die. He wasn't going to let them be stranded out there. He had somewhere to be. See, we have somewhere to be. We're going to cross over because we have an assignment. We always cross over the water. If you read the Bible, if you go back to the Old Testament, the Israelites crossed over the Red Sea to get to the other side. But see, the thing is, they didn't trust. They didn't believe. Even after everything God had done for them, they actually got to see his glory. They got to see him do amazing things in front of them, but yet they complained. They still didn't believe. And because of it, God says, you're not crossing over this time. You're going to stay exactly where you are. And another generation will come up. You know, they could have been in their promised land after they have crossed the Red Sea. They could have been. I mean, they sent spies, Joshua and Caleb. We know them very well. They came back and they're like, yeah, there are giants in the land. We could get them. We could take them on. And the other 10 were like, no, no. We are only but crickets or grasshoppers. You know, my British accent, you know. They all talk British to me. And they began to tell everyone, there are giants in the land. They're going to kill us. And Joshua and Caleb were like, no, man, we got this. We could kill them, yeah. Who are you, giants? Yeah. Who are you, Hittites, Amorites, all the ites? Who are you? Yeah. We're God's army. We can do this. God said we'd have it. It's ours. But because of these 10 people who were like going to everybody, we're going to die. We're going to die if we go over there. And God's like, you stupid, stupid, stupid people. If you read the Bible, God gets very angry. It took Moses to be like, God, please don't kill them. Because he wanted to. He really did. If you read it, he's like, I'm going to destroy them all. They're stupid. They're obstinate. They're stubborn. And Moses is like, God, please don't kill them. And then, you know, the whole thing with Moses and the rock. And he's like, well, you're not going to cross over. You're going to be in the desert for 40 years. Dang it. If only they got it. Can you imagine Joshua? Can you picture Joshua right now? He's like, oh, I was in the land. We could have done this. What's wrong with you people? And so now he's having to wait 40 years. You know, that's a long time. And then finally God is saying, after that generation passed away, God says, now it is time. And so I'm going to go there to Joshua 3:14-17 and 3 and 5 and then 3:14-17. So Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord is going to do amazing things among you tomorrow. And what is he saying? He said, consecrate yourself. There is a theme going on in the body of Christ here at church, talking about cleansing, the hyssop, talking about coming back to your first love. He's saying, consecrate yourself because tomorrow we're going to cross over. That means get yourself into position. Get cleaned up. Here we are with the water. They're by the Jordan River. The water. They are to set themselves apart. They are to repent. They are to do whatever. Because they've been traveling this desert for 40 years. They've picked up a few things along the way. They still had Egypt in their heart. And he's saying, consecrate yourself. Cleanse yourself. Purify yourselves. Because tomorrow God is going to show up. And so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. I'm on verse 14. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the waters from upstream stopped flowing. Now, I want to make a point. The Jordan is at flood stage. When is the flood stage? It says harvest. We think harvest. We think fall time. But not this time. It's springtime. What season are we in right now? We're in the springtime. And he's telling us to what? Consecrate yourselves. Purify your hearts. Get right with him. Get into position. Because we're about to embark into something that we have never experienced before. This has been a very interesting year so far. We're only in the, third month? About to step into the fourth month? And it's just been crazy. We see all kinds of stuff going on. People bickering back and forth. We've seen the division in the church. And the thing, and I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it. You call me weird or whatever, but I'm just watching because I've seen God's hand move. You know, there's this wrecking ball coming in. There's a bulldozer making a way. And whatever you believe, you know, that's up to you. But I just believe that God is using instruments in this hour to sound the alarm, to awaken the church. We are in the time of awakening. And I'm seeing so many people wake up. You know, we're not quite there yet, but we're in the process because we're about to see the greatest move of God we have ever seen. And so we need to get ready. We need to get ready. We can't be playing around anymore. We can't play with God's presence. We can't play with his worship. We can't do it anymore. I've heard God say, enough is enough. I have felt him, his spirit and my spirit. I have felt the grief that he has felt. I remember I had a dream years ago that I was standing, I was in this room, this white room, and all there was a TV screen. And Jesus was standing there, and he said, come. And I went, and he turned on the TV, and he said, watch. And I looked at the screen, and I was like, what am I seeing? What is this? It was horrible. I was like, turn it off. I can't watch it. It was what was going on here on earth. All the fighting, all the immorality, everything. And I was like, God, please turn it off. I can't watch it. And he says, it's what I see every day. And then he left with it. He stopped with this message. He said, tell my people I'm coming soon. Tell my people I am coming soon. See, he sees all this stuff every day. He sees it in his church. The Lord gave me this just recently. And it says, it's in Ezekiel 36, verse 25. He said, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people. I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of the trees and the crops of the field so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Then you will remember your evil ways and wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourselves for your sins and detestable practices. I want you to know that I'm doing this for your sake, declares the Sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct, O house of Israel. I find it very interesting that The church is very parallel to Israel. I see a lot of similarities. You know, we tend to be a little bullheaded, obstinate, stubborn, all the synonyms that mean the same. But he's saying, he's like, I'm calling you. I'm calling you out into the deeper waters. I'm wanting to cleanse you because of the assignment that I have for you waiting for you on the other side. I need you to be ready. I need you to be healthy. I need you to be whole as much as we can possibly be. We need to be dependent on him and only him. We need to fall in love with him and get into his presence. We need to stop taking his worship like nothing. Like it's just something we're, you know, just doing on church. You know, we need to do it all the time. We need to live it. We need to act it. Actions speak louder than words. How you act it shows other people who Jesus is and who he's not. We need to trust in him. He is calling for us to trust him and have faith, even though it's hard. It's with his help that we can trust him. He's sovereign. He's got this whole thing. He's working everything out. He's got our government in his hand. He's got the people running for office in his hands. I don't want to get political because everybody has got their own ideas and their own. I know what I see. And I see God's hand in the midst of it all. This is his election. This is his time. This is his moment to shine. And whether you like the people or you know, everybody has their opinion. And that's okay. But in the end, God's going to win. He has chosen somebody specifically who's going to sound the alarm. He's already sounding the alarm. He's going to expose things that are in the government that are not good, that are not moral, that are politically correct. Right now, the politically correct spirit and the religious spirit are having a heyday. They are running rampant right now. The Leviathan spirit is running rampant, twisting things, lying. But we have to be able to see past that and see what God is actually doing, because he will use even a Cyrus, someone who does not believe in him, to do his word, to do his work. And we just have to believe that God is in control. We have to trust him. And we need to get into position because we're going to the other side. And what's on the other side, we don't know. It could be a demoniac like Jesus, like Jesus encountered. Or it could be giants that you have to overtake. But our promises are there. So I think I'm done. I didn't get to all the scriptures. I didn't really want to use my notes because I just want to speak what God wants. And then later I'm going to be like, why didn't I say that? Dang it. You have brain farts. You're just like. Yes, I said fart. So. It's like, where's the drummer?
You're oh my God.
Sometimes you feel like
that. And sometimes you don't. That is a word that I believe that we need to begin to put our heart and efforts into. When God begins to speak to us about us, Pastor Raul said it right. We want the goodness to come forth. But in his goodness comes rebuke. The Bible says he chastises those that he loves. He's not going to raise a spoiled bride. He's going to raise a bride who is made whole. Amen. We can't be walking around thinking that everything we're going to get is sweet, because you'll get nothing but cavities. How many of the kids in here like to eat their vegetables? I said kids. Because the truth be told, we went from a generation that had the homegrown vegetables and everything. We're getting back. We're getting back to it. But then we got into a generation where everything had to be fried, cooked fast. Okay? And so that generation, if you watch how the industry as a whole, remember, God gives us signs here on earth. If you watch it, if you watch the signs at the time, you'll see where the church is going. There was so much fried foods, processed foods. Now we started going into labeling the things of what we're eating, right? We had to label them. Well, the reason for that is so that we understand what we're putting into our bodies. Then all of a sudden, the prophetic word started coming to the church concerning, what are you listening to? What are you digesting? And now it's going back now to a place where we have to eat the good things. Well, the church should have always been that. But we got so comfortable with our distractions that we wanted things quick. We wanted it fast, but it wasn't good for us. So here's God bringing it back now to order for us, putting us back in order to receive, and it gets uncomfortable. Remember when you were babysitting a newborn? Have you babysitted a newborn before? And how you have to wrap them real tight? You know, they swaddle them, and then you tuck their arms in, and that baby, once they got freedom, they do not like their arms tucked anymore. The arms start like this because they experience freedom. One of the things what happens at the church is that God had us real tight. He said, okay, you're not ready yet. I still got to care for you, but you've experienced some freedom. But that freedom, you want more, but you can't control the freedom that you have. So we got to be careful. Great word. I know it's a timely word, and I know it's something that the church needs to listen to and hear. We're getting ready to cross over. Every time the people of God crossed over, there was a fight. There was a fight. You don't just get your goods. There is a battle that they had to fight. So I want to encourage you. Every time they crossed over, they had victory on the battles they had to fight. When they would lose a battle, it's because flesh arose. So we have to take our flesh and put it at the altar. Amen. Great job. Great job. I'm glad you did it. Great job. Can you guys hand out the envelopes if you would please? If you guys are recording, you go ahead and stop the recording. Thank you for that back there. Appreciate it.